goes by the pseudonym Bo Snerdly.
It's time for the Soul of Excellence.
He is a radio host at 77 WABC here in New York.
The Rush Hour is on the air.
Rush.
Now here's Bo Snerdly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Welcome, my friends. Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour. I'm hoping today is Tuesday. It is the Tuesday edition. If it's not Tuesday, I'm in big trouble.
It's Tuesday.
Thank you. 800-848-WABC is the number to reach us. 800-848-9222. And, of course, there is always so much in the news. The Supremes have spoken again. Well, it remains to be seen how this is going to play out long term. But for now, this moment in Tejas, state officials can begin law enforcement arresting people that are in the country illegally. This is a huge case. And again, I am not so sure that this is going to be a permanent law. But for the time being, the Supreme Court will not block the Texas law. The Supreme Court temporarily sided with Texas today in its increasingly bitter fight with the Biden administration over immigration policy. And it is allowing, for the time being, an expansive state law to go into effect that makes it a crime for migrants, illegal immigrants, to enter Texas without authorization. As is typical, says the New York Times, when the court acts on emergency application, its order gave no reasons. They gave no reasons for why they're allowing it. But Justice Amy Coney Barrett, joined by Justice Brent M. Kavanaugh, filed a concurring opinion that seemed to express the majority's bottom line. They're returning the case to an appeals court for prompt ruling on whether the law should be paused while an appeal moves forward, Justice Barrett wrote. If a decision does not issue soon, the applicants may return to this court. So again, this is for the time being. It's going to go back to the lower courts. Lower courts, if they don't decide soon, then the plaintiffs, meaning the federal government, can bring it back to the Supreme Court. The wise Latina, as she was called when she was nominated, Justice Sonia Sotomayor, said today's the court invites further chaos and crises. The court doesn't invite the chaos and the crises. The Democrat Party and Joe Biden have invited this crisis. They are solely responsible for this crisis. They are solely responsible for the chaos and all of the mayhem that has followed. Followed the 10 million illegal immigrants that have come into this country since Joe Biden was installed into the White House. The court's order addressed one aspect of the clashes between the White House and Governor Abbott of Texas, who has embarked on a multi-billion dollar campaign to deter migrants. No, to stop illegal immigration. He does not wish to deter legal migrants. And let me again, for the record, say there are very few people in America who want to deter legal migrants. We welcome legal migrants into America. America is a welcoming nation for legal migrants. What they hope to do is stop this invasion of illegal behavior. Diego sent me a story last night. That story was really cool.
Right?
We had a call the last call we took. A beautiful lady. We love her.
We love her.
She was concerned, however, that soon they're going to start making cars in Mexico, and those cars might be booby-trapped. And I had to advise, we love her. I had to advise her.
Hey, we love her.
We love her. Darling, cars have been made, Americans have been driving cars that have been made in Mexico for almost 20 years or more since Bill Clinton and Al Gore pushed through the NAFTA agreement. Many of the cars that you are driving in America are manufactured in Mexico. They also have parts that are shipped to Mexico from Canada and elsewhere. This is, the auto industry is not a Detroit or Ohio industry anymore. It has been a multinational industry. And what Donald Trump was raging about, somebody actually got to the story today. Wait a minute, you know that stuff that Trump was talking about with China? There's some stuff there. There's some real meat behind that. I think it was Politico did a story. Somebody figured out maybe we ought to stop focusing on this bloodbath nonsense and focus on what he was saying about China potentially flooding the American market with cheap cars made in China. I started to say cheap Chinese cars. That would not sound right. Cheap cars manufactured in Mexico, which was the issue, by plants that China is aggressively trying to put in place right now. But, so Diego sent me a story.
I did.
Yeah, of the car plant. And this was the car plant that your dad worked at?
Yeah, in my hometown. Yes. Hometown, Toluca, Mexico. It's right outside Mexico City. It's very industrial there. They also have a Ford and a Mercedes plant in the same city, I believe.
So you people driving around in your 150 gazillion thousand dollar Mercedes Benz, you know, some of them are made in Mexico.
And in my school, a lot of the parents of my classmates also worked at those plants too. They worked on those cars and they work hard.
Any F-150 trucks built down there, F-150, F-250, or just the cars?
I'm not sure if the F-50 specifically, but possibly, actually.
Yeah. So yes, no, there is nothing new with American products. And why do they make American cars in Mexico? This was one of the things that was contentious at the time, for those of you old enough to remember it. The NAFTA battle. The North American Free Trade Agreement. NAFTA. And what the American public was sold by Al Gore, Bill Clinton, and the likes, was that if we invested in NAFTA and we had open trade between the United States of America, Mexico, and Canada, that all of a sudden things would start to normalize. You see, Mexican economy would grow. People would stop coming here illegally because they could find jobs at home instead of having to cross the border to find jobs illegally. We were sold all this. And Canada, well, you know, the Canucks. The Canucks would be good sports. And we'd get along with them. They'd start trading more with us and all that stuff. Instead, it's been a mess. The whole thing has been a mess. Okay, Canada and the United States have been arguing ever since NAFTA over things like lumber and how much it costs. And they argue and they argue. And the price of lumber has done nothing but go up. And they got lots of trees up there in Canada that we could use. In fact, I have Canadian friends, and I tell them all the time, it would be in America's best interest if we just did a hostile takeover of Canada. Get rid of that commie socialist government up there. Take it over. I have also argued, please, Diego, don't hate me for this. I have also argued that we ought to take over Mexico. Just be done with it. Just take it over. I mean, what the hell? We're paying for it anyway. Just take it over. Get rid of the corrupt government. Put in our corrupt government.
You know, I know some people down there that would be somewhat okay with that, with exceptions.
Yeah. I mean, let's just get rid of the corrupt government down there, because your corrupt government just it's not yours, but the corrupt government down there. I mean, it's really, really corrupt. As opposed to ours, it's just corrupt. So just stop all the monkey. And by the way, while you're at it, take over Haiti too. They have been. Come on. How long? How long do we see these? Every decade, we get another Haiti revolution. Every decade, they throw out some leader. They depose somebody. This goes way back to Papa Doc and all the rest of these Haitian guys. It's never been stable. And the people down there are suffering. Bill and Hillary Clinton went down there, looted the place of a lot of money, didn't do anything for the people. It's a terrible thing in Haiti. And then people want to get on boats and ships and come here. Just United States, I always thought you'd just go full. We've always been accused of being an imperialist nation. Just go ahead and become imperialist. Take over Cuba. Get rid of those commies down there. Okay? Open up trade with Cuba. It's ours. We're taking it. Take the Caribbean. Sorry, it's a mishmash of semi-socialist governments. They depend on us for tourism. Take it over. It's in our sphere of influence. Take over Mexico. And then take over Canada and be done with it.
Panama, too.
Panama, too? I don't know how. Well, we built the canal. That's right. Take over Panama, too.
We want the canal.
Jimmy Carter gave away our canal. Get it back from the Chinese. Hey, Jimmy Carter, nice as he is, nice guy, Habitat for Humanity and all that, not so good as president. We want our canal back. We built it. We're taking it. Okay, and just be done with it and put our corrupt government down there. You know, at least it's a better version of a corrupt government. You have this at least superficial talk about law, superficial talk about freedoms, even though the federal government is trying to strip as many as they can from you. Let's just stop the problems.
We won't have to go so far to migrate either.
Yeah, and then that way, you know, we solve the illegal immigration problem overnight.
We bring America to them.
Right. That's the end of it. Here, now, throw out that Mexican Constitution. Throw out all that stuff. We're all living by the same rules here now. Okay? Congress will be about 1,000 seats like the Chinese have, that 1,000 or so seat pilot, whatever it is. Yeah, Congress will be about 1,000 seats. We'll have about 300 or 400 senators running around. Government will be just as gridlocked as it ever is. But it won't be quite as corrupt as it is down there now. And then the southern border then becomes different. Now we can stop this traffic from the southern border, Central America. We own Panama. That's the new border of the United States. Panama all the way up to the tip of the Arctic. That's ours. Problems solved. New problems begin, but those problems solved. I like the plan, personally. And then we could all be one happy family.
Both nearly for president, 2024.
Oh, God bless imperialism. You know what I mean? just become the imperialists that they say we are. And then all these people talking about, oh, you are the oppressors, all that stuff that they teach in school. At least the left will be right about something for a change. They can say, you know, we're a bunch of Yankee imperialists. Yep, we are. What you gonna do about it? Yeah, we are. Problem solved.
Might as well.
WABC.
Interstates for everybody.
And you think I'm kidding? Yeah. Especially Haiti. Yeah. We take Haiti right away. Just, okay, stop playing around. That's what we tell them. It's ours. We're going to just trade out your corrupt, brutal dictators for our less brutal, corrupt style of government here. Ah, Stevie Wonder, Fingertips. Heavenly birthday today for Clarence Paul. He co-wrote this one with Stevie. He was Stevie's Motown producers during the early days. He also co-wrote with Stevie Until You Come Back to Me, the song that Aretha made very popular. Stevie recorded it too. but Aretha's version did it. So this is Fingertips, Stevie Wonder, on WABC Talk Radio 77. And then you know what? Then we can put our middle finger up to the EU and say, see?
That's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea at all.
And then what's China going to do? They're going to look at all this. And we tell China, you're not. Oh, no, no, no. You're not coming into any of these areas trying to flood the markets anymore. Level playing field and trade, baby. WABC, Talk Radio 77. James Golden, Bo Snerdly with you on our Tuesday Rush Hour. 800-848-9222.
This is Greg Kelly. To my friends in the construction business, if you've been injured on the job, make just one call to the construction accident lawyers at the law offices of Darren T. Moore. With hundreds of five-star reviews, they fight for more justice for every client and have secured millions of dollars in compensation for New York construction workers. Call 888-444-ATTY. That's 888-444-2889 for a free consultation. More diligence, more persistence, and more justice.
Prior results don't guarantee similar outcomes.
Rush.
It's the Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Another birthday in the world of music, Ruth Pointer, with the famous and incredible Pointer Sisters, born this day in 1946. Pointer Systems, winners of 3 Grammy Awards, 13 top 20 hits between 1973 and 1985. And they are background vocalist supreme. I don't know if many of you know this San Francisco-based group called Cold Blood, featuring Lydia Pence. First of all, Lydia Pence is an amazing singer. Cold Blood was one of the San Francisco rock groups back in the day with Chicago, Chase, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Tower of Power. Tower of Power is part of that San Francisco music sound. But anyway, on their first album, the Pointer Sisters sang background on some of the songs. They were amazing. Happy birthday, Ruth Pointer. Okay, Joy Behar, Rush used to call her Maud Behar. Anyway, she scolded the audience of The View, some of the audience, the men in the audience. They had on that woman that came up with those last-minute claims about Justice Kavanaugh, that, what's it, Christine Ballsy, Blasey Ford. She has a new book out. I guess she thinks her 15 minutes aren't over. And blah, 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 blah. So Joy Behar asked her about the percentage of letters she got from men. Ford said it was about 10%. And then Joy Behar starts in with her stuff. They need to understand they have to step up to help us. We can't do this ourselves. Do what yourself? Make false accusations? I noticed, I watched when people are clapping. Some of the men did not clap in this audience. They didn't clap for Christine Ballsy, Blasey Ford. And so Joy Behar has got her nose out of joint about it. Like, they didn't, and so now you have to clap for every woman that makes a claim? Mayor Adams is denying that this graphic sexual assault that he is supposedly did. He says this did not happen. I don't recall ever meeting this person during my time in the police department. This accuser that stepped forward says the alleged assault happened in 1993 when Adams drove her to a vacant lot and requested oral sex from her. When she refused, supposedly, the mayor put his hands on his thing which was ready for action, and blah, blah, blah. Now, I don't usually defend Mayor Adams, but I don't know what happened. I wasn't there, but I know one thing. If something happened in 1993, she should have come up and said it in 1993 or 1994, maybe. And I do have sympathy for women, understanding that they can be traumatized, that women can be afraid of what will happen to them. I understand that. But here we are all these decades later, and you haven't seen fit to raise the issue now, until now. There's something wrong with this. And I don't know what the solution is. I don't think that women should, if something happened to them long ago, of course they have a right. Maybe some women will weigh in on this. Because, and guys too, of course, but I mean, some of these charges to me are just bogus. I mean, they just, it's like this Christine Blasey, Ballsy Ford woman. Oh, you wait till the guy's, this guy's been in the judicial system all this time, only when he's nominated to the Supreme Court. And all these leftists are running around talking about this could be the end of the abortion movement. We have to stop him at all costs. And then all of a sudden, some woman steps forward. Oh, gee, guess what happened when we were teenagers? I'm sorry. Some of this stuff lacks credibility. And again, I don't mean to be insensitive to women. I understand that bad things happen to women against their will and that there are predators out here and people that take advantage of women in ways that they should not, in criminal ways, and that women truly suffer. I've had relatives that have been raped. And one of my cousins was raped, and she never got over it. She's a different person. I get it. And in some cases, some of these people that are doing some of these heinous crimes, believe me, I think that they should never come out of jail. But at the same time, there has got to be a balance. And I don't know what the answer is, but until this woman, if this woman does not have definitive proof that Mayor Adams did something, then I'm sorry. I'm going to say, you know, until this woman can come up with absolute proof that the mayor did something, my question, why are you raising it now? Why now? So, America's small caffeinated mom, Rhonda Schrock, when I was suggesting that we become the imperial nation and that we take over Haiti, I said Mexico first, Mexico, Canada, Haiti, we just become an imperialist, become the imperialist nation that the liberals have always said we are. Become the imperialist Yankees. Take it over. Just grab the Caribbean. It's in our hemisphere. It's ours. Get Cuba, get those commies out of Cuba, get that lawlessness out of Haiti that's been going on since the beginning of the last century. Haiti has never had a stable government. It's time to stop the foolishness, take it over, get rid of all those cronies down there, put in our brand of a corrupt government down there, and see whether the people can do any better. At least they'll get Social Security and Medicaid. And let me tell you something. The Haitian people are some hardworking people. They deserve better than what they've gotten from their failed governments over the decades. Take it all over. And we stop the problems now. America's small caffeinated mom, Rhonda Schrock, sends me a text. So, James, is Russia next in this grand march across the globe?
Far.
No, it's not too far, TJ. No. We have to do this in phases.
Yeah, but then you start talking about more money to Ukraine.
No, no, listen to me. Listen. You know, and I know, that the conspiracy kook people have been talking about one world government for the last 100 years. That's what everything is set up for. Just like we finally silence all the left that claims America is the imperialist nation, we silence all the kooks. And we say, yep, we're going to have one world government, but it's going to be America.
We are good.
In phases. First, we take over our hemisphere. when we get that all stable, all the Caribbean nations, Mexico, Panama, Canada, we subdue all of that, we own the northern and part of the southern hemisphere, then we take over the rest of South America. They'll crumble. After that, we look overseas. We look to China. We look to Russia. Problem solved. All right, Diego, why are we playing this one?
This is 50 Cent, who on this day in 2005 became the first solo artist to have three singles in the U.S. Top five. Candy Shop was at number one with How We Do by The Game, a member of his G-Unit group at number four, and Disco Inferno at number five.
Boom. 800-848-WABC. Stay here. Oh, can't wait for your telephone calls. And if you want to weigh in on any of this, feel free. 800-848-9222. Fence teasing you by how I sprung, I got you. Wanna show me you can work it, baby? No problem, get on top, then get the bounce around.
It's the Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly.
Bo's by the pseudonym Bo Snerdly.
Rush.
Now here's Bo Snerdly.
1953 birthday for Ricky Wilson, guitarist with the B-52s. Their debut single right here, In Your Ear, from 1978, Rock Lobster. Before we get to our guest, we have a guest that you have to hear from. Just let me remind you, it's the 77 WABC Big Basketball Bracket Challenge is going on now. UConn, Houston, Purdue, Duke. Who will be this year's tournament champ? Registration is now open. Go to WABCradio.com/bracket to sign up right now. Free to enter. Make up to five brackets for your chance to win. Play against Sid and Friends in the morning, Greg Kelly, Rudy Giuliani, and the rest of the 77 WABC squad. We have a grand prize with this, $500. Go to WABCradio.com/bracket to sign up right now. Now, yesterday, a big story, folks. Big, big, big. Google has interfered with elections 41 times over the last 16 years. That study conducted by the very well-respected Media Research Center. We have right now the vice president of MRC's Free Speech America, Dan Schneider. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for welcoming me to one of the best shows ever on the airwaves. It's a pleasure.
Thank you, my friend. Listen, I have to ask you this because the staff asked me when they're saying, Dan Schneider, is he with Nickelodeon? Is he with
No.
No.
I'm not that Dan Schneider. I'm also not the German terrorist sitting in a prison in Berlin. I'm Dan Schneider with the Media Research Center.
Dan, tell us about this study and Google. This is groundbreaking. And of course, it's not making headlines in the mainstream press. So people are not going to hear about it if that's where they get their information from. But tell us what you have found out.
You know, people, especially conservatives, have an understanding that Facebook has been censoring conservatives and Twitter before Elon Musk bought it. And there's still censorship on the new X. But people understand that these platforms have been censoring conservatives because they feel it. They see it. They see their own accounts. But they don't know what Google is up to. And frankly, Google is the greatest weapon the left has. And Google has used its incredible power, its incredible might to sway elections for the left for 16 years now. We've got this study that shows 41 different times. This is just this is not comprehensive. There are other instances as well. But Google will pick its candidate of choice, the most left-wing person it thinks can win, and it's going to suppress other Democrats in primaries against that candidate, and then it'll suppress all the Republican opponents and others. So RFK Jr., you're not going to find his website very easily on Google, oftentimes. and certainly not Donald Trump. Google is out to bury any opponent of Joe Biden, and it now, does it in ways that you're not even aware of.
Now, this didn't just start now. Talk to us about Barack Obama and John McCain back in 2008. What did they do with when it was and John McCain didn't help himself in that race. But that aside, what did Google, how did Google act when it was Barack and John McCain?
Well, even before that, when Hillary Clinton was the heir apparent and she was supposed to be, you know, the candidate to lead the Democrats to victory. But she wasn't left wing enough. So Google picked Barack Obama. So there were different blog sites that were pro-Hillary, and there were other blog sites that were anti-Obama. And Google then started burying those blog sites. Those blogs could not get their information out if they were pro-Hillary or if they were anti-Obama. And then when it came to the general election, of course, I mean, the most obvious is that the chairman and the CEO of Google, of course, endorsed Barack Obama. There's nothing illegal about that. But that it was a clear indication of what Google wanted the world to look like. They wanted, you know, a radical young Barack Obama to become the next president of the United States.
Okay. Talk to us about Tulsi Gabbard. Now this, you know, I was one of those searching for more information on Tulsi Gabbard, and I can tell you from my own experience, it was hard to find good information about Tulsi Gabbard back in the day. What did they do back in 2020 with Tulsi Gabbard?
Well, this is right after Tulsi Gabbard, and you know she was a member of the House of Representatives from Hawaii, and she started making some speeches and getting a lot of attention, and she went into the debates and started getting even more attention, and people started to look at Tulsi as a real alternative to the sort of the typical Democrat, and just as she was starting to catch fire, and just as she was starting to get attention, and people were starting to try to Google her. Google started burying what are called ad accounts, so that you know they were drying up funding to her campaign and making it hard for people to find information out about her. This is not the way democracy is supposed to work. You know, if you have a candidate you like, you can publicly announce this is who I want, but you don't do it in secret. If you do things in secret, these are supposed to be campaign contributions or in-kind contributions that you're supposed to then have to report with the Federal Election Commission. But Google doesn't
Google says there is absolutely nothing new here, spokesperson, that you're just offering a recycled list of baseless, inaccurate complaints that have been debunked by third parties. Yeah, just like the fact checkers. And that many and failed in court. Politicians on the left have a long history of making similar claims, too. Blah, blah, blah. They said, come on. Nothing to see here. How do you respond to Google saying this is just baseless, inaccurate complaining and it's all been debunked?
That's absolutely false. For example, we did our own studies that showed that before each of the four Republican presidential campaign debates, we went and we searched Democrat presidential campaign websites. That was the term we searched for. And then we also searched Republican presidential campaign websites. And James, when you look for Democrats, the first search result was for Joe Biden. And then you also had Marianne Williamson, and you even had the old campaign websites for Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. But there was no RFK. RFK's website did not come up at all. And this is
and that poor guy, Doug Phillips, boy. That guy was buried.
Okay, yeah. Well, then when we looked for Republican campaign websites, let me just again state, when you look for Democrats, Joe Biden was the first search result. When you look for Republican presidential campaign websites, only two websites were produced. One was for Marianne Williamson, the Democrat, and the other was for Will Hurd, who was scoring at 0% in the polls. And we did this search test before each of the four Republican presidential campaign websites. We got the same result every time. We asked Google for response every single time. Google never responded. So for Google to say that these have been debunked or refuted is an absolute lie. Nobody has ever refuted our search results. They stand on their own. And then just 2 weeks ago, when we see that Google's Gemini is creating, you know, silly, you know, pictures when people would ask for, you know, a picture of the Pope or a picture of American founding fathers, and we got images that were not of the Pope or not of the founding fathers, but instead, you know, images created by their DEI departments. This is the exact same kind of manipulation that Google uses in search results. It's the same thing. They are trying to change reality because they want to manipulate the people to impose its twisted, warped agenda on us.
Now, you guys, I tell you what, MRC is such a valuable commodity. We have just about less than a minute left. Let me just ask you to point to people where they can find the study and, more importantly, where they can find MRC and make MRC a part of their life. Where do they find you?
Okay, so the mothership here is the Media Research Center, MRC.org. We post our stories on newsbusters.org. That's the sort of the online news publication for MRC. So if you go to newsbusters.org, you can find all of the studies and reports that we here at the Media Research Center create.
You guys do amazing work, and you have been friends of the conservative movement since there was a conservative movement, and you came into being. Brent Bozell, all of you guys just do amazing work. And Dan, thank you so much. We hope to have you back very soon.
Anytime.
James Golden, a.k.a. Snerdly, on WABC. We got to check in with Lou Dobbs and then your telephone calls. We've got so much. I've been getting responses about women and these. We have to devote some time to this, maybe Saturday. How should women respond to the things that have happened to them as time goes by? The Countess of Conspiracy has weighed in on my suggestion for one world government. But we'll have to delay that. Anyway, time to check in with Lou Dobbs. Your call is coming up. Grateful Dead, take us in. We'll be right back.
The Rush Hour is on the air. Attention, Ditto Heads. Attention, Bo Scouts.
Rush
on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
1974, on this day, Jefferson Airplane rebrands. They become Jefferson Starship.
James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, presents Rapid Phones.
Alan from Astoria, Queens, is a man who knows history. Alan, how are you?
Good, good. Manifest destiny is the word you want, my friend. That's where you wanted to take over the entire North American continent. But I love the way you threw in Haiti and Cuba.
Thank you. And Manifest Destiny basically was. This was Madison. This was it. Monroe. No, that was the Monroe Doctrine. No, Manifest Destiny is the idea that it was our destiny to have America from coast to coast. Pretty much, that's layman's terms for it. A lot more involved than that, but you're absolutely right. And I maintain it was a good idea then. It's a good idea now. Let's go to Mike in Oceanside. How are you, Mike?
And Manifest Destiny basically was. This was, Monroe. No, that was the Monroe Doctrine. No.
Hey, he's got his radio on. I'm listening to myself. Let's go to Susan, upstate New York, very quickly.
Okay, yeah, you're speaking about this bloodbath term that the mainstream media, these idiots on MSNBC, how they, this is an example of a totalitarian press. How they twisted and misused the context. First of all, the term means a very bad situation in which a lot of damage or harm is caused. That is how it is used in our American dialogue. In the finance world, it's used all the time to describe a decline in financial or, you know, stability in an industry or the economy. So the way they put it, like that, oh, Donald Trump is saying that it's going to be a bloodbath you know, in the whole country because of the way he's going to take revenge. And they're repeating it hour and hour and hour. And it is, okay, but I'm calling you back Saturday to discuss the other issue.
Okay, I can't wait to hear from you on Saturday. Let's quickly go to Sandra in New Jersey. How you doing, Sandra? Thank you for waiting.
Oh, you're welcome, James. I just wanted to say that I'm a little concerned about this woman who has a house that her mother gave her when she passed away, and the squatters are living in there. And I looked up about
Flushing, Queens. Flushing, Queens. This woman was arrested for changing the locks in her own house. The cops arrested her. The squatters are still in the house. It is outrageous. Go ahead, Sandra.
Well, this, you know, this act came from Abraham Lincoln. He enacted this act in 1862 for colonist people to go on unsettled land. But this has gone way too far. And my concern is we have 10 million illegal immigrants here. I'm not saying they're going to do that, but you never know. They might find a house, go in the door, and not come out again. I mean, this is crazy, crazy,
these
crazy.
These squatting laws have got to be changed. These people that are thieving other people's houses and inheritance, this has to stop. This poor woman, this is in Flushing, Queens. She changed the locks on the house that she inherited from her mother. She was arrested. The squatters are still in her house. May God bless and protect each and every single one of you, your families, your loved ones. Love and gratitude for your being here with me and allowing me to be with you. God willing, my friends, back tomorrow for the Wednesday edition of Bo Snurley's Rush Hour. And until then, I bid you adieu. Bye.